For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
First, good Mechaydash. Happy Rosh Chodesh to everyone. And with the arrival of Elul, which Elul begins officially really tonight, tonight's really the Aleph Elul, the first day of Elul. Elul is the month of God, as we mentioned last week. God is the sixth in the order of the way they traveled. The Arizal taught us that every month corresponds to another Shevet. Elul is God. Elul is the Chodesh Hashishi. When God was born, his mother said, or Leah said, Ba God. Rashi says, Ba Mazel Tov. Interesting. We would assume that by the birth of every child brings with it Mazel Tov. But we only find that by God. And that tells us that the month of Elul is the month of Mazel Tov. In contrast to Menachem Av, which the Gemara says, Reya Mazlei, that the Mazel of Av is not good, it's negative. In Elul, the Mazel is Toiv. Elul is the Chodesh HaRachem and the HaRotzayin. And with the arrival of Elul, we begin wishing each other Aksiva Vachsima Toiva. It is a month of strong Mazel. Concerning God, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Baruch Marchiv God. Blessed is the expansion of God. God's portion of land expands to the east, as Rashi tells us in Parshas Vezois HaBracha. And with the arrival of Elul, we experience Harchava. We're experiencing relief and expansion in contrast to Av, where we had the Bein HaMetzorim. There were constraints, Min HaMetzar, now comes the Anoni Bamerchav. And as we get closer and closer to Rosh Hashanah, we experience more and more Harchava. And as we read in this week's Parsha, which is always the first Shabbos in Chodesh Elul, Ki yarchiv, im yarchiv Hashem alekecha es gevulcha. Hashem is expanding the boundaries. The boundaries are expanding as we enter the month of Elul. God, his portion of land was by the boundary, by the border. Samach lasfar, as Rashi tells us. Elul is the month that is next to the border. It's the last month of the year. It's the sha'ar, the gateway, which through this gateway we enter the new year. Elul is the shar of the upcoming year. Shoiftim v'shoitrim tiktan lecha b'chol she'orecha. The first part, the pasuk talks to us about appointing judges and officers in every gate of every city, of every shevet. The shar of the year is Chodesh Elul. This parsha that we read as the month of Elul begins with the mitzvah of appointing shoiftim v'shoitrim, and it ends with the mitzvah of egla arufa, a topic at the end of the parasha which talks to us about the unfortunate situation when a corpse is found, a murder victim, ki yimotzei cholol, very unusual word. In fact, this is the first time this word, I believe, appears in Chumash, concerning a victim where the Torah calls him a cholol. Cholol usually means empty, desecrated, chilul, full of holes. You would imagine a bullet-riddled body. Ki yimotzei cholol bo'adama. We're talking about a corpse that was found and we do not know what happened. Lo noida mihi kohu. We don't know who killed him, and that's why we have the egla arufa. The pasuk says that this corpse was found in the following position, Noifel Basoda, falling in the field, which right away were puzzled by the diktuk here, the grammar of the word Basoda. It should have said Noifel Bisoda, in a field. Basoda means in the field, as if we're talking about a specific field, the Al-Sheikh asks, and any other Mepharshim. Why does it say Basoda, which is like Behasoda? What field? Are we talking about a specific field? It's any field. Any field where one finds a murder victim, the following has to take place. The next pasuk tells us, V'yotzu zekeinecha v'shoiftecha. Who has to go out? and measure, as we know the halacha is, we have to measure to see which city is closest to this corpse. Zekeinecha v'shoivtecha. Chazal tells us, Rashi brings it here, not order, not just plain zekeinim. We're talking here about the miyuchad shebizkeinecha. We're talking about the members of the Sanhedrin, of the Sanhedrin Gedoyla. We're talking about the members of the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. They have to go out and measure and see which city is closest to this corpse. Why should this be their responsibility? In fact, at the beginning of the parasha, we read that there are shoiftim v'shoiftim that are appointed in every single city of every shevet, and that's referring to the Sanhedrin of 23. So aren't there enough members of Sanhedrin throughout Eretz Yisrael for, as the Gemara says, either three or five individuals to measure, to see if this corpse is close to a city or not? So that city has to bring the Egla Arufa. We have to obligate the Zakenim of the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim to do this? What is happening here? And at the end we read how after the Egla Arufa, which is the decapitated calf, is brought, the Kaihanim are brought in, and the Ziknei Ha'ir, and they have to proclaim, Yadeinu lo shafchu es hadam hazeh, our hands did not spill the blood of this individual. As Chazal explained, no one thought they did, but they didn't allow this individual to leave without proper escort. They didn't know that he left alone. They don't know who the murderer is. Ve'ineinu lo yiro. And then they say, Kaper la'amcha Yisrael ashepodisa Hashem. Forgive your people Yisrael. I mean, what's happening here? One murder victim is found in some remote village in Eretz Yisrael, and we're making this whole tumult over here with an Egla Arufa, with the Zekanim and Yerushalayim and the Kehanim and the Ziknei Ha'ir, with all these proclamations, and it requires kapar lekaper la'amcha Yisrael ashepodisa Hashem v'ni kaper lehem hadam. Why is it? And the fact that we read this as we begin the month of Elul tells us automatically that this is connected to the month of Elul, because every parasha that we read is the Shaloh HaKadosh tells us in various places that every parasha that is read at a specific time pertains to that time. The parasha begins, V'shoftu es ha'am mishpat tzedek, that the judges that you appoint shall judge the people mishpat tzedek, literally meaning a judgment of truthfulness or righteous judgment. Then the pasuk says again, right afterwards, it says loisata mishpat, tzedek, tzedek, tirdoif. So we have three times tzedek right at the beginning of this parasha. You shall run after righteousness, tzedek, tzedek, tirdoif. Rashi tells us from Chazal, this means you have to look for the best Bezdin, Halech Acha Bezdin Yotha. And Mefarshim asks, what is this tzedek? What is the meaning of tzedek? And what does it mean, v'shaftu esa'am mishpat tzedek? And as we enter the month of Elul, Elul, as the Arizal taught, the combination of Hashem's name for the month of Elul is from the four words, Utsedoka Tihi Elonu Ki. It is a pasuk in Parshas Vayeschanan. These four words, Utsedoka Tihi Elonu Ki, Nishmar Lases, but it's Utsedoka Tihi Elonu Ki, the last letters as Yud Kei Vav Kei backwards. Utsedoka Tihi as Hey Hey, Lonu is a Vav and Ki is a Yud. And that's the combination of Hashem's name for the month of Elul. Unkelus translates Tzedaka as Zachusa. Tzedaka means Zachus, merit. In this week's Pirkei Avos, we're going to be reading a Mitzvah Shem. We start over again, the final time that we read Pirkei Avos for the year Tavshin Samach Zayin. We read it four times. And the last time begins Parshas Shoftim. And there we have the Mishnah, V'heveidon eskol ha'odom l'chav zechus. Where do we know that from? Where do we know that we're supposed to judge every individual favorably? We know that from a Pasuk in Kedoshim, where the Pasuk says, B'tzedek tishpoit amizecha, that everyone shall judge their fellow Jew with tzedek. Now, literally, it's referring to a judge, that a judge has to judge truthfully, without being bribed. He has to be objective, and so on. But Chazal tell us, and Rashi quotes this in Parashas Kedoshim, that tzedek tishpeit amisecha means haveidon es kol ha'odom l'kav zechus. And that tells us that tzedek means zechus. Tzedek tishpeit amisecha, that no matter what, we're always supposed to see the good in everyone. We're supposed to look at every individual and only see the good, even if it's difficult, because that's how we want to be judged. The way we judge others, as the Baal Shem Tov told us, The way we judge others is the way we are going to be judged. The more zechus we see in others, the more zechus will be seen in ourselves. And perhaps we could hint this in the first pasuk of the parasha. Shoiftim v'shoiftim titan lecha. The pasuk is telling us, be judgmental for yourself. Shoiftim v'shoiftim titan lecha. For your own, in your own private life, you should be very judgmental. You should be very tough on yourself. You should demand a lot of yourself. And a person should be very machmir for himself, but not at the expense of others. When it comes to everyone else, the pasuk ends off, v'shoftu es ha'am mishpat tzedek. Everyone else you should judge favorably. Everyone else you should only see the good in. As it's known, great tzaddikim, they were very machmir for themselves, and they were meikel for others. The great poskim looked for heterim, koichot de heterim others, even though in their own private lives they were very machmir. They were very harsh on themselves, not on anyone else. If you want to be judgmental, instead of being judgmental about other people, about other groups, about other communities, we should be judgmental about ourselves. Shoiftim v'shoitrim. Shoitrim also means officers. To police. To judge and to police. You want to judge and police? It shouldn't be. The others, titan lecha, should be to yourself. Others, v'shoftu esam. Here the Torah leaves out the policing. When it comes to others, v'shoftu, judge them. And how should you judge them? Mishpat tzedek. With zchus. To be melamed zchus. The Shach, the Sifsei Kohen, the Shalom, and others say that this pasuk is also talking about that we have to appoint judges to all our own personal sha'orim. Every person has his gateways, his entrances, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, all the openings in the body. All those openings need guards. They need policing. We have to control our eyes, our ears, even what we smell, what we say, what we put in the mouth. Shoiftim v'shoiftim titan lecha b'chol sha'orach, and all your sha'orim. And as we enter the month of Elul, Elul is a month which many have minhagim of certain stringency, certain chumras to take upon oneself as we prepare ourselves for Yom Hadim, but only for ourselves. Shoiftim v'shoiftim titan lecha. For everyone else, it's mishpat tzedek. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdoif. We have to run after tzedek. We have to run after zchus. And constantly. And even an individual that it's very difficult to be malamed zchus on, be malamed zchus. Mashiach is called Tzidkenu. We call Mashiach Tzidkenu. We don't call anyone else Tzidkenu. We don't say Moshe Tzidkenu. We don't say Avraham Tzidkenu. All the Royim, the Avos, and different Nevi'im had different titles. The Avos were called Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu. Mashiach is called Tzidkenu because one of the greatnesses of Mashiach will be that he'll be malamed zchus on everyone. He will excel in tzedek, Mashiach tzidkenu. Our righteous Mashiach doesn't only mean our righteous, meaning tzaddik, but from the word tzedek, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya, v'hoya tzedek ezor mosnov. Whereas David HaMelech writes in Tehillim concerning Mashiach, o hafto tzedek v'tisno resha, you love to be malamed zchus, and you hate to see bad in anyone, Alkei Meshachach Ve'elokim Alekecha. So that's why Hashem anoints you. You know, Mashiach is anointed because he sees only the good in everyone. He reveals the good in everyone, and he sees the good in everyone. And the more good we see in others, the more we are able to reveal that good. And any Rebbe, and any Chanuch, any parent who studies this knows that when you encourage a child, and when you uplift the child, when you only see the good in the child, the good will come out, even if really you're not seeing any good. The child will eventually live up to the potential. He'll live up to the good that you see in him, even if right now that good is not revealed. But those that I always put down, and those who are very, very harsh and critical, then those children don't usually grow up properly because they don't feel that they have any potential. They don't feel there's any good in them. And that's a lesson in chinuch, to only see the good in our talmidim, to only see the good in our children, and of course to only see the good in the entire Klal Yisrael. And the idea is, as we enter the month of Elul, we wish everyone a ksiv v'achasim b'toivah. Does that mean that really everyone deserves a ksiv v'achasim b'toivah? Is everyone that we are saying ksiv v'achasim b'toivah definitely deserving to be inscribed in the Book of Life? Not necessarily. But we wish everyone a ksiv v'achasim b'toivah. We hope that everyone wishes us a ksiv v'achasim b'toivah, whether we deserve it or not. Everyone has some zechus, and the only thing we're looking for now is zechus. Utzedaka tihi elanu. Tzedaka, as Targum Uklus translates, zechus. We start the slicha, is l'cha Hashem hatzedaka. That Hashem should only see in us the zechus. Hashem should only find zechusim and therefore give us what's called tzedakah. Tzedakah is what you give to those who don't have anything. Even if we don't have anything, we ask Hashem for tzedakah. We ask Hashem to find zechus in us. And the more zechus we look in others, the more we will receive the same. And this idea we also see at the end of the parasha. We see at the end of the parasha the achrayis for Klal Yisrael. The idea of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zel Ozeh. Reb Tzadik and others at the beginning of this parasha say, V'shaftu Esa'am Mishpat Tzedek is the concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zel Ozeh. The beginning of the entire Klal Yisrael is one body. And every organ is concerned with the other organ, because it's all one body. So therefore, V'shaftu Esa'am Mishpat Tzedek, that we are judging everyone favorably, B'tzedek Tishpat Am Yisrael, being that we are one unit, it's Ke'ish Echad B'Lev Echad, we are one people. Elul stands for Ish L'Re'ehu U'matonais L'Evyoinim. What do we see at the end of the parasha? At the end of the parasha we see, we have here a corpse, a murder victim, who very likely is someone who was killed because he deserves to be killed. The Al-Shech discusses here at length. Obviously, if he was killed because he must have sinned. And yet, we make a big deal about this. We're being melamed zchus on him. We're not just assuming, well, he was killed, and obviously he deserved to be killed. He obviously didn't care about himself. He left without protection. He wasn't escorted. He took a risk, and he left and went on these roads alone. So it's like, you know, he took his own life. You know, he's responsible for what happened to him. The Torah doesn't take that approach at all. Not only that, but who is responsible to deal with this cholol, which cholol also comes from the word chulin, chilul, and perhaps this is an individual who has a desecrated neshama. This could be from the lowest neshamas of Klal Yisrael. Lo'inoida mihi kohu, we do not know who hit him, meaning we don't even know his whereabouts, we don't have no idea who this person is. This could have been a person who was Machal Shabbos, this could be a person who was over all the Averis Chamuris, and maybe Hitaka was killed because, as the Gemara says, even though there are no Arba Misas, Din Arba Misas Leibotlu. And he's Neufel Basoda. What Soda are we talking about here? We're talking about the Ish Soda, Esav. Concerning Esav, the Pasuk says, Yodei Atzayir Ish Soda. So the Zohar tells us that whenever the Torah talks about Soda, at least in a lot of places, it refers to Tuma. Tuma is Soda. Ear is Kedusha. Sada is Tuma. Esav went out to the field. Esav's place was in the field. Esav did not go in the Beis Medrash. Esav goes out in the field, and that's where he hunts, and that's where he commits all the sins. And this individual, Neufel Basada, he fell into the domain of Esav. He is affected by the outside world. That's why the Pasuk says Basada, in the field, in the Sada Hayodua, the field that we all know, the field that is associated with Esav. And it's interesting, the month of Elul was also originally associated with Esav. The Zohar tells us that Elul was originally under the domain of Esav, and so was Adar. Yaakov Avinu, says the Zohar, took away Elul from Esav. And now Elul is in the domain of Yaakov. We see this in the Pasuk, V'yodoi oichezes va'akev Esav. Yaakov was holding on to the heel of Esav. So the Zohar tells us, what does that mean? Yaakov is holding on to the heel of Esav. Esav was called Esav. In reality, Esav should be called Osui. Osui means made. He was like ready made. He was born with a beard. He was born with hair. He looked like an adult almost, a tiny adult. And Yaakov looked like a normal baby. But Yaakov we don't call Ekev, even though he was holding on to the heel. We call Yaakov Yaakov with a yud at the beginning. And Esav we don't call Osui. We call him Esav. There's a yud missing at the end of Esav. And that yud seems is now at the beginning of Yaakov. So the Sfarim tell us, in Sefer Yetzira, we are told that Elul was created with the letter Yud. So the Yud is Elul, and Elul is the Ekev of the year. Elul is the end of the year. Yaakov held on to the Ekev of Esav, which means Yaakov took away the Yud. Esav's name was Osui, and Yaakov takes the Yud at the end of Esav's name, the Ekev of Esav. The other one says it's Ba'akev Esav. So he's holding on to the end of Esav's name, which is the Yud, because really his name should be Osui. And he takes it, and now it becomes the first letter of his own name. So now, his name is not Ekev now, his name is Yaakov. The Yodai Oichezis. Yodai is the letters Yud. The Yod, what is he holding? He's holding on to the Yud. So Yaakov takes away Elul from Esav. Although it was originally in the domain of Esav, the Ish Soda, Elul is now in the domain of Yaakov. And therefore Elul becomes the month of Tshuva, where we're able to turn around, just like the month of Elul was turned around from the domain of Esav to the domain of Yaakov. Elul becomes the month of Tshuva, where any Jew, no matter who, even one who is Noifel Basoda, just like this Cholol here, who falls into the pitfalls of Esav, who falls into the domain of Esav, which is the world of Soda, and in this month, it is possible for a person to turn himself around, just as this month was turned around from the domain of Esav to the domain of Yaakov. The Baal HaTanya writes on the Likutei Torah, and the Sfarim quoted, that Elul is the month in which the king is in the field. Melech Basoda. The words that he uses, interestingly, is Melech Basoda. The king is normally in the palace, and it's very hard to see the king. The king is in his private chambers. You can only see the king at certain times. But there are certain times when the king goes out. The king goes on a trip, and on his way back, he stops in the field, and all his people come to see him and greet him, and the king is smiling to everyone, and everyone is coming to shake his hand or to receive his autograph, whatever. Melech Basoda, that's the expression that is used concerning Esav, concerning Elul. Melech Basoda, the king is in the field, and therefore accessible to all. This is the month in which the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim are revealed. As the Zohar says on the Pasuk, Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li Haroya V'Shoishanim. Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, we know as Elul. Haroya B'Shoishanim, or Shoshan, is a rose, and the rose is surrounded by 13 leaves, tells us the Zohar. I guess this is something that one should go out and check to see if the roses have 13 leaves around it. That's what the Zohar tells us. And therefore, in the month of Elul, Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, we are protected by the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim are revealed in Elul. This is the month of Slichos, the month in which we say, Sfar can say it every day, we say it at least the last week. It is the month of Rachamim and Ratzon, a month that was once under the domain of Esav, and now it is in the domain of Yaakov. So this individual, this low Jew, this Jew who perhaps is, from all the Jews, the one who hit rock bottom more than anyone else, he's the Cholol, he's empty, as Cholol also means empty, his neshama has been desecrated, he's Noifel Basoda. Who is concerned with this neshama? The Yotzu Zekeinecha V'Shoivtecha, the greatest of all Jews, the members of Sanhedrin, those living in Yerushalayim, the Ir Shechubra Lo Yachdav, the city where we see this concept more than any other place of Kol Yisrael Reivim Zelazeh, Yerushalayim Shalayim Ischalka L'Shvatim, the city in which every Jew unites with every other Jew, Yerushalayim, which the Navi, what we read in the Haftarah of Shabbos Chazoin, Yerushalayim is called the Ir HaTzedek, city of righteousness, city of Schus, a city where everyone is Melamed Schus on one another. The Zakenim of that city, of the Sanhedrin Gedoyla, of the Beis HaMikdash, go out, the Yotzu Zakenecha V'Shoivtecha, to deal with this Cholol, to deal with this low Jew, this murder victim who was Noifel Basada. We would think, this person was Noifel Basada, why should we be involved in his murder? It's something that, it's his own fault. Let the people who live around there deal with it. The Torah considers the Zakenim and the Shoivtim those responsible for the Cholol. The Yotzu Zakenecha V'Shoivtecha. The beginning of the parasha we read by the Zaken Mamre that the Kamtov Yolisa El Hamokoim Asher Yivchor Hashem Elokecha. But when there are disputes, we go to the Beis HaMikdash, the Kamtov Yolisa, the Beis HaMikdash is Gavoya Mikol HaMikoim, as Rashi tells us, it is the highest place in Eretz Yisrael, physically, spiritually, and that's where the Shoivtim are, the Kohanim and the Levim. Whenever there's a dispute, we go to the Beis HaMikdash, and that's the Mokom for the Sanhedrin, for the Kohanim and the Levim. But when do we ever leave the Beis HaMikdash? When do we go out of the Beis HaMikdash and leave the confines of Kedusha? At the end of the parasha. At the end of the parasha, the Zakenim and the Shoivtim are going out of the Beis HaMikdash, leaving Yerushalayim. It could be all the way in the north or all the way in the south. It has to be in Eretz Yisrael, but it could be very far from Yerushalayim. And their job is just to do one thing, just to measure. Umadudu el ha'orim, measure which city is closest to this corpse. The Baal HaTurim, on the word umadudu, quotes that there's another time where it says umadudu. Yes, he enjoys the shir. There's another time where it says umadudu in Navi, in Yecheskel, in Parak Mem Gimel, where it says umadudu el tochnes. And there it's talking about measuring the Beis HaMikdash. Umadudu el ha'orim, umadudu el tochnes. The connection, because these are Canaan, originate from the Beis HaMikdash. That's where they're coming from. And therefore, excuse me, The Beis HaMikdash is concerned with every Jew. The Beis HaMikdash is the source and the root of the entire Klal Yisrael. And even this Cholol is affected by the Beis HaMikdash. If the Beis HaMikdash itself doesn't go out to him, the Zekeinu that are in the Beis HaMikdash go out to him. Kapel La'amcha Yisrael tells us the Baal HaTurim, why the entire Klal Yisrael? And here the Baal HaTurim says straight out, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazer. All Jews are responsible for one another. We're all one. And if there's one murder victim, Achmanu Litzlan, how many times do we hear stories, and especially in recent weeks, one Jew, one cholol, one noifel basada, affects the entire Klal Yisrael, including the Zakenim and the Shoifnim, to the point where a proclamation, Kapel Amcha Yisrael, must be made. Kapel Amcha Yisrael Ashepodisa Hashem. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. The Sfarim tell us that every Yid has a Shoirish Hanela. Shoirish Hanela means a hidden root, a hidden source. Shoirish Hanela. And the Chiddush HaHarim writes, the Sfas Emes writes, when we say Baruch Atah Hashem Mogen Avraham, we're supposed to have in mind the Shoirish Hanela. That's the source that we all originate from Avraham Avinu, the Nekudas HaYahadus, the Pinta Leyid. Others refer to it as Yechida Shebenefesh. As we mentioned, that there are five levels to the neshama, nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida. When it comes to the fifth level of the neshama, which is the level that is revealed on Yom Kippur, there, no matter who the Jew is, tumah doesn't affect it. The shoyresh hanelam of every Jew is complete. Even a Jew such as this cholol, who was noifel basoda, when it comes to the shoyresh hanelam, all Jews are the same, we're all equal. When it comes to that fifth level called Yechida, all Jews are the same. And therefore, we're all responsible for one another. It doesn't matter what level of observance. In that respect, all Jews are exactly the same. Kapel La'amcha Yisrael is Begematria Shoirish HaMe'elam. Kapel La'amcha Yisrael is also equal to the words Baruch Atah Hashem Mogen Avraham. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. Even one who is Noifel Basada, the one who is Noifel Basada has to connect himself with the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is called Har HaMoiria. Noifel Basada is Begematria Har HaMoiria. This Jew who fell, who's falling, Noifel is in present tense. This Jew who's Noifel Basada, under the domain of Esav, is affected by the Beis HaMikdash, which is also called Sada. Vayetze Yitzchak Losuach Basada. Yitzchak went out to pray in the field. Chazal tells us that was the Makom HaMikdash. The Makom HaMikdash is called Soda. And the one who falls in the domain of Esav, which is the Soda on the other side, is affected by the Beis HaMikdash, which is also called Soda. And that's why Rosh Hashanah, we read about the Akedah. We read about the Akedah, we read about the Makom HaMikdash being designated as the future Makom for Klal Yisrael, the future Makom where all of Klal Yisrael unite together. The Slicha and the Kapara of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur originates from that Makom, from the Makom HaMikdash, from the Kodesh HaKadosh, from the very place where Yitzchak is offered as by the Akedah. And as Rashi tells us there, in the Har Hashem Yeroya, Bayikra Avram Shem HaMakom HaShem Yira, the Har Hashem Yeroya, that in the future we remember this story, and this story is what brings about the Slicha and the Kapara for Klal Yisrael. Even the lowest Jew, that's the Yehi Ratzon that we say after we read the Akedah. We're supposed to read the Akedah every day. And at the end of the Akedah, there's a Yehi Ratzon that we say that just like Avraham Avinu, Kovash es Rachamav, he curbed his mercy. He was so merciful, such a merciful person. Imagine the mercy that he had for his son lying there helplessly on the Mizbeach. Yet, Kovash es Rachamav, and almost slaughtered him. A Shoichet cannot be merciful when it comes to shechting an animal. If he is, then he has to give up his job. He can't say at the last minute, you know, I really can't do this. You really can't do it. So find another job. The animal's not going to be able to be used if you're not going to shecht it. Imagine a moel before he's about to perform bris mila, and he suddenly becomes very merciful. So, what's going to happen? No bris. A moel and a shechet have to be koivesh, they're rachamim. Avraham Avinu was an ish hachesed. Avraham Avinu was a man of rachamim. He wasn't. He couldn't hurt a fly, even the one who's disturbing us tonight. Avraham Avinu couldn't harm anyone. And now he's commanded to kill his own son. He said he was Kovesh his Rachamim. And therefore we ask Hashem, just like Avraham Avinu was Kovesh his Rachamim, can you Hashem be Kovesh Ka'ascha? V'yogoylu Rachamecha al Midoisecha? The Akedah is our inspiration. It's the reason that we have a right to ask Hashem to curb his anger and have pity on us and accept our tshuva, because of what Avraham did. And that's why that story is read on Rosh Hashanah. But as the prelude to Rosh Hashanah, in the weeks prior to Rosh Hashanah, as we enter the month of Elul, here we are learning of the responsibility that we have for one another. The Achdus, the Ke'ish Echad Belev Echad, the Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh Lo Zeh, which manifests itself very, very strongly in this story, in this topic here of the Egla Arufa. Why does Yaakov Avinu teach Yosef about the Egla Arufa right before he parts and doesn't see him for 22 years? That was the last halacha that they learned together. And when Yosef escorts his brothers, after he reveals himself to his brothers, he teaches them the same halacha. Yaakov is teaching Yosef about the responsibility, the achrayis, that Klal Yisrael have for one another. The limud schus that we have to be malamid on each other, which the Shvatim and Yosef lacked at that time. Yosef was not malamid schus on his brothers. Yosef accuses his brothers of eating Evim and Achai, of dealing with Arayas, of calling the other children Avadim, as Rashi tells us, the three points. The Bayave Yosef es dibosim royal aviyam. Yosef slanders, he gossips to his father concerning his brothers. Of course he means l'shem shamayim. He means it for their good, but he's not being melamed tzchus. Yaakov is teaching him about Egla Arufa. Whatever we spoke about tonight, I'm sure much more, Yaakov told Yosef, even a cholol, even someone who's noifel basoda, and that's what happened to Yosef. The pasuk says, v'hine toye basoda. Yosef was lost in the field. Yosef at that time symbolizes the wandering Jew, the Jew who was lost basoda, v'hine soye basoda. And he says, "Es achai anoichi bevakesh." Yosef got the message. Yosef understood what Egla Arufa is all about. He understood the message. He understood the achrayis and the kol Yisrael reivim zeh lazeh, and he realized that he should have been malamid tzchus on his brothers. And that's why he's going now to make up with his brothers. "Es achai anoichi bevakesh." However, vayiru oisei meirachek, they see him from afar. And they plot to kill him before he has a chance even to say anything. They're already throwing him in a pit, and then eventually they sell him. So they never get the message of Egla Arufa. But when Yosef reveals himself to the brothers, he teaches them the Egla Arufa story. He tells them what Yaakov taught him. And he says, what we all misunderstood, we misunderstood each other. We did not appreciate who we are. You weren't Melamed Tzchus on me, I wasn't Melamed Tzchus on you. Let's hope this doesn't happen again. And they unite in Parshas Vayigash. It's the Egla Arufa, this topic that brought about the Achdus of Yosef and his brothers. It's this topic that prepares us, to some degree, among the many other topics in this parasha, for Rosh Hashanah. What prepares us for all of us wishing one another, Ksiv v'chsim etayv, being malamed tzchus, b'tzedek tishpait am yisrach, only looking for tzchus, only looking for schus, b'tzedek tishpat amisecha, as we enter this month. Shoiftim has in it a mitzvah that is associated with the geula. And there's only one mitzvah in the entire Torah that has not yet been fully observed. And that's the mitzvah mentioned in this week's parasha concerning the Orei Miklat. The Rambam in Hilchas Malachim, when the Rambam tells us that one who doesn't believe in the coming of Mashiach, or doesn't hope for his coming, is called a Kofer in Torah and a Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam brings three proofs. One is a pasuk in Parshas Balak, where Bilam prophesies that there's going to be a Redeemer at the end of time, and then he quotes the pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim, V'shav Hashem alekech es shavusecha b'richamecha, that no matter where Jews will be scattered throughout the world, Hashem will gather, bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. And then in a separate se'if, the Rambam says, "Af beparshas orei miklat nemar," that by the parsha of orei miklat, which is an our parsha, the pasuk says, "Ve'im yarchiv Hashem alekecha es gevulcha," when Hashem will expand your boundaries, as Rashi says, referring to the time in the future when Eretz Yisrael will be more than it is today, when Eretz Yisrael will be the land of the Keni, Knizi, v'Kadmoni, when all 10 parts of Eretz Yisrael will be given to us. What's going to happen then? Says the pasuk, "Yosafta lecha oid shalosh orim al hashalosh el." You should add three more cities to the six cities that we already have. Says the Rambam, this never happened. The Torah wouldn't have commanded it to us for nothing. Lo tziva hamakom latoyhu. So that's proof that there has to be a Mashiach, there has to be a Geul. Now it's part of a mitzvah. If you don't believe in Mashiach, that means you don't believe that this mitzvah will ever be completely fulfilled. This mitzvah is not complete until all nine cities are set aside as Arei Miklat. So far, only six were set aside. Three more have to be set aside. Of course, the obvious question is, why will we need Arei Miklat in the future? There are some who say from here, this is the Rambam's opinion anyway, that Ein Ben Yemais HaMashiach Lo'ilam Hazeh, El Hashibit Malchiyos Bilvad, that at the beginning, the first stage of the coming of Mashiach, the world will be the same as it is now. The only difference will be that there will be, of course, a Beis HaMikdash, and a major difference, but not that there will be the supernatural changes will not happen right away, that happens later on. So that it will be possible for someone to kill unintentionally and have to run to the Arei Miklat. There are those who explain it that way. Others say that those who had to go to the Arei Miklat Bizman HaGolus and weren't able to go, will be able to go then. Elul is referred to by the Arizal as the month of Miklat, the month of refuge. And in fact, one of the acronyms for Elul is Ina Liyadai V'Samti Loch, which is a pasuk in Mishpatim concerning the Ir Miklat. Just as when one runs to the Ir Miklat, he's safe, he's protected from the Goyel Hadam. And there he receives kapara, because as the Chinuch writes, going to Golas, going to the Ir Miklat, is not just to protect yourself from the relative who might kill you, but it's also a punishment, and it's also a kapara for the one who killed, even someone who kills unintentionally. Obviously, if he did such a thing, and if such a thing could have happened through him, even though he didn't mean to do it, it shows that something is wrong. So his kapara is that he goes into Golas, he goes into the Ir Miklat. And there he's protected, there he's safe. Elul is the month of Ir Miklat. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos in Rosh Hashanah refers to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as days of Miklat. So Elul, being the month in which we prepare for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is the month of Miklat. That's where we run, that's where we go, and we're safe. And that's where we receive our kapara. From the Goyel Adam, from the Malach HaMavis, from the Yetzer Hara, who's trying to get us, especially at the end of time. As we read in Parashas Bereishis, but concerning the Nochash, the Yetzer Hara, Ata tishufenu okev. V'hu yishuv charoish, v'ata tishufenu okev. He will step on your head, but you'll be able to bite him if you get his heel. The snake doesn't have to go very high. The snake, all he has to do is bite a person by his heel, and you can kill him that way, and the poison travels through the bloodstream. That's where the Yetzer Hara gets us. The Yetzer Hara gets us at the Ekev, at the end of time. By the border, by the boundary. Elul is the border, it's the boundary, it's the end of the year, it's the Ekev. That's where the battle takes place. That's why Elul is the month of God. God is the warrior. God gedud yigudenu v'hu yagud akev. God is the one who fights the battles. He's on the front lines. And his portion of land is at the border. Elul is at the border of the year, and it is a month in which war is required. That's what we read in this week's parasha, Ki Seitzei La'Melchama, and in next week's parasha, Ki Seitzei La'Melchama. We need to fight the Yetzer Hara. We need to battle, because now is the time for the battle. We've come to the end of time, and especially that we are in the time known as Ikvesid, the Mashiach, prior to the Vim Yarchiv Hashem Alekecha as Gevulcha, when we're going to be receiving the Keni, Knizi, V'Kadmoini, those three lands that correspond to Amoin, Moyov, and Edoin. Those three lands that correspond to the three powers of the intellect. And as the Svarim explained to us, that's why we're going to be adding three more cities. The three more cities correspond to Chachma, Bina, Das, the three powers of intellect that will be revealed in the future, in the world of Mashiach. As the Gemara says in Makkah, it's Divrei Torah Kolten. Torah has the power to protect. In the parasha of Ir Miklat, the Torah says, V'zois ha-Torah asher son Moshe lefnei b'nei Yisroel. Es betzeh ba-midbar, v'es eretz ha-mishol ha-ruveini, v'es romais ba-gilod la-godi, v'es goylan ba-boshon la-manashi. Zois ha-Torah asher son Moshe lefnei b'nei Yisroel. Says the Gemara that Torah is koilet. Torah protects. Torah protects, and therefore, in the world of the future, in the world where we're going to be receiving Torah Seishal Mashiach, we're going to be experiencing an entire new revelation of Torah. That entire revelation in Torah is hinted in the three cities that are going to be added in the future part of Eretz Yisrael, called Keni, Knizi, V'Kadmoini. Elul is the month of Im Yarchiv Hashem Alekecha Es Gevulcha. Elul is the month of Harchava, Baruch Marchiv God. In Elul, we are already preparing for the upcoming year. In Elul, we already are in the upcoming year. Elul has in it Chofei Tishrei, Chofei Elul, which Chofei Elul, of course, is the day of creation. It is the Reishis, the beginning. And we prepare for Rosh Hashanah, for the day of the Shofar, B'Hashem Melekim B'Shofar Yizkor, reminding us of the Shofar Shel Moshiach, the Shofar of La'asid Lovoi, of Tekab Shofar Gadol L'Cheruzein, which, as we mentioned last week, when Avram Avinu saw, when Avram sees the Ayel Acha Nechaz Basvach Bekarnov, Svach Bekarnov is B'Gematria Malka Mashiach. Avram Avinu sees Melech HaMashiach. Avram Avinu already sees the Yemais HaMashiach. He sees the Shofar of Mashiach. And our Haftarah, the Haftarah that we read this week, is the most joyous Haftarah so far in the weeks of Nechama, more than Nachamu. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, is Hashem telling Yeshaya to go and comfort the Jewish people. The Haftarah of our parish is Anoichi, Anoichi, Hu Menachemchem. Double Anoichi. And Hashem says Himself, I am going to comfort them, as Yavudraham explains, that we are not satisfied with Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. Our answer to that is Vatoyim Etziyon, Azavani Hashem. Really, you're sending Yeshaya to comfort us? We want to hear comfort from Hashem Himself. So Hashem says, okay. Anoichi, Anoichi, Hu Menachemchem. And it says it twice. Matan Torah, we only heard Anoichi once. In the future, we will hear Anoichi two times. And it's not that it's just double. But whatever we have now will be double then. Two times by Hashem means Le'ein Aroich. We can't even fathom the difference between one time Anoichi to two times Anoichi. There's no comparison. Concerning tshuva, the pasuk also uses the expression anoichi, 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 hu moiche fisho'echo lema'ani. Hashem says twice, I will erase your sins for my sake. And that's the level that we reach on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, we come to the point of tshuva, where Hashem says, anoichi, anoichi, hu moiche fisho'echo lema'ani. Those words are the gematria of Bereishis. Bereishis, which is the beginning of time, Bereishis, Aleph B'Tishrei, that's the time of Anoichi Anoichi Hu Moiche Fisho'echo Lema'ani. And here we read the Nechama of Anoichi Anoichi Hu Menachemchem. Double Anoichi. We will experience the double Anoichi through our Limud Tzchus. That means Melamed Tzchus on one another. B'tzedek Tishpoit Amisecha. The concern for every Jew, even the most remote, even the Cholol, even the Neufel Basada, especially in the month of Melech Basada. And as we prepare for Elul, which stands for Ish L'Re'ehu Matonis L'Evyainim, and we work on our Achdus and our Ahavas Yisrael and our Limud Tzchus and Shoftim V'Shoftim Titan L'cha, only for ourselves but for the rest, V'Shoftu Esa'am Mishpat Tzedek, that will bring us, of course, to the Ir HaTzedek. The first time it ever says Tzedek in Chumash is concerning Malki Tzedek. Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem. That was Shem Ben Noyach, who was the king of Yerushalayim. Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem. Tzedek is the city that is associated, is the word that is associated with Yerushalayim. We're all waiting for the binyan of Yerushalayim. As we read in this week's Haftarah, his oiri, kumi Yerushalayim, pitzchu ranun yachtov, chorvois Yerushalayim, kinicham Hashem amoy, goal Yerushalayim, the city of Ir Shechubra lo yachtov. May we be zayif for this Elul, this chaydish of God, this chaydish of Mazel Tov, this chaydish of Ksiv Vachsim Atoivim, may we be zayif to work on ourselves, and to truly experience the proper achdus and the limud tzchus and the limudim of this week's parashah, be zeichet to the anoichi anoichi hu menachemchem before already Tavshin Samaches. By the time Tavshin Samaches comes, we should already hear the shofar shel Mashiach, and may it be immediately.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.